Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning. You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It is the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I will be your host. Thank you so much for joining us here in studio. I've got Craig Guthrie on control and a very special guest in studio, and we've got a very special show for you today, which I'm really chuffed about and happy to be back in studio after quite a bit of traveling. Daniel, well, no pressure. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Nick. Thanks very much for having me today.
So we have our fantastic producer, Daniel, in studio. And also, we're going to be chatting and looking at setting up some of the future shows. So we want to hear from you and what you would like us to cover. And we're also going to be chatting about health in the Froom community. What are the challenges? And what are the difficulties? You're starting a young family, you're building a life. What are the things that you're facing on a day-to-day basis that are making it difficult, perhaps, to get the right amount of sleep, the right amount of food in, and so on? So we'll get back to that right after these ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You are listening to 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and it is the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. And I have a special guest in studio, Daniel, our producer. And I'm going to say my producer, but you know, Dan is very involved in the station. And I just wanted to also give a big shout out and a thank you to Craig, because Craig's running the back end of everything and keeps the show flowing and the time. So all we really need to do is talk, and Craig just manages us so well. So we want to hear from you. What are the topics that you would like covered in the future on the show? You can let us know on 061-895-1019. That's our in-studio WhatsApp number. We want to hear from you. What would you like us to cover in upcoming shows? And I wanted to chat to Daniel as well, because earlier this year we both got hammered by flu. And again, you just recovering from it now. And how was your... cause it took me out for nearly 6 weeks. How was your experience with it?
So I got a little bit ill. I went to Israel on the 30th of July, and I got back last week, and I got sick there about the last day that I was there. I think it was mostly we did a lot of traveling. Was about 20 hours worth to get there on the first day. And then we were literally up and down every single day. We were extremely busy. They kept us, so we were on a tour, so we were very, very busy. And I think it was also a lot to do with the change in temperature.
Yes.
Because we were out in the heat. For example, on our first day, we were out in the heat walking around the streets of Tel Aviv for about 3 hours or so. Then onto the nice air-conditioned bus, 19 degrees, you know. Then, say, an hour's drive to the next location. Then off the bus, back in the heat for an hour, back on the bus, and just that constant hot, cold, really, really didn't agree with me. And I'm sure you can hear it still a little bit in my voice. My voice is still feeling a little bit hoarse. But I'm feeling better, thank God, today. When I arrived home that first day, I was like, yo, I was not a happy camper, let's just say that.
Yeah, 100%. The thing is, how was your sleep? I mean, how was your rest?
Not great. I know from my own experiences that sleep is one of the most important things when it comes to health. I've struggled with anxiety and depression my whole life, and I was in a very bad depressive state last year, and I couldn't sleep. I had the worst insomnia, and it just compounds all of your problems thereafter. But yeah, when I was in Israel on the tour, we didn't get too much sleep. Not that I couldn't sleep, but we were so busy. I mean, we were finishing off sometimes in the evening at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then up at 6, 7 the next morning back on the bus, you know, carrying on. So only really getting maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night, give or take. You know, and it's a new place every night, so it's a new bed every night, it's a new environment every night.
And packing and unpacking as well.
Living out of a bag is fun.
The thing is, I mean, also not being settled, and that's such a big thing. Something else I just wanted to ask you that I thought of now, because having come back myself, I was there for 10 days for a wonderful wedding and an amazing simcha, incredible celebration. But you do get the sense of what is going on, and that there's a war, and there's not a lot of young people around, and there is this profound energy or sense that you're in a country that's at war, and that does wear down on you emotionally as well. Did you find that as well, and like that it was wearing you out quicker than normal travel would?
Definitely, I think. Everywhere you go, you can feel it, and you attest to it. Mm. Everyone in Israel feels it together. I mean, it's like I don't know how to describe it. You have to go there. You have to experience it for yourself. I can't describe it, but it does. And we had a number of soldiers join us towards the end of our tour for a few days. As part of the program, they come and they give us their experiences. And talking to them and meeting them was an enormous shock for me. So I think you say there's not a lot of young people around. Mm. These soldiers are 20, 21 years old. And the one soldier we've met, Idan, he's in this elite tank unit. They drive these very high-tech tanks. He was in Gaza for 3 months fighting. To think that this boy, you know, is 21 years old, it's... I can't fathom that.
You know, we get so hammered in our civilian lives. We talk getting sick just being on a tour. How resilient these amazing young soldiers are.
They are absolutely incredible people. Mm. A good friend of mine also was in a tank unit, and I saw him when I was in Israel. And yeah, he's also struggled with his health. Coming back from Gaza, coming back from seeing the things that you see when you're over there. He told me some horror stories that I will not repeat to anyone because it's atrocious. And the physical toll, the mental toll, the emotional toll that it takes on you is you can't understand it.
Yeah. So now you coming home, right, having to work, getting sick, how are you able to recover, to get the sleep? What are the challenges you're facing? Because I think so many are facing these challenges just in terms of trying to get enough sleep, raising a family, the responsibilities that life has. And that's, what is it like within the Frum community, young Frum family? You know, what are the challenges for looking after your health?
It's a
big question.
It's a big question, but I like it. I like big questions, so let's go. I think people my age, especially people that I'm friendly with, we sometimes take our health for granted. I think that's a big thing, and I think I did for a long time. I was diagnosed in 2019 with ulcerative colitis. And I think up until that point, I really took my health for granted. You know, I was overall very healthy, never really had any underlying problems or anything. And when that happened, it was a big shock to me. It was like, oh, wow, like, this is a serious thing. Like, I need to actually take care of myself. I can't just eat whatever I want to eat. I can't just, you know, do whatever I want to do. I need to be aware and conscious of this disease that I have. And as I've grown up and I've gotten married and, you know, my group of friends have changed and I've met different people, I think that it's a big problem within our community, because I think we all have some kind of autoimmune disease, to be honest, in our community. I've got ulcerative colitis. My father's got Crohn's. My uncle has got Gaucher's disease. My family, we've got a history of heart disease, we've got a history of cancer, and these are things that you can't ignore. You can't, even from a young age, obviously you don't want to scare children and be like, oh, you're going to get an illness, but they're things that you need to be aware of and be cognizant about.
I think the number one thing that affects our quality of life is our health. You know, that's our number one wealth. I love the intro from Dis-Chem that, you know, health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. And it's such a true thing that, and also as you age, then you start to face more and more challenges and you need to be more responsible. Within your group of friends, within the young from community here, those, you know, just getting married or getting married and now having kids, the challenges of diet and nutrition, and there's not a whole lot of healthy options. I don't think there's a lot of education out there in terms of what to eat. How did you find sort of the nutrition and the diet in your circles?
Very bad, if I can just be frank.
Yeah.
We, in my circles in particular, as much as we try, and, you know, we always... I feel like every day I meet someone who's on a different diet. I'm doing the keto diet, I'm doing the paleo diet, whatever, whatever. But we really don't eat well. We really, really don't. And as you say, I do think it comes down a lot to education. When I was in school, we didn't really learn all that much about nutrition. We learned the food pyramid. Okay, you must eat fruits and vegetables, and then you mustn't have so many fats and whatever.
Mm.
But it's not a practical thing, in my opinion. And it was only after my wife and I moved into our place together, and we're cooking for ourselves, we're planning our own meals, we're doing our own grocery shopping, that you become aware of what you need to buy, what you have in the house. Like now we need to go shopping actually just now after the show, because the fridge is currently like a wasteland. And we've been saying to each other, we want to try eat more fruits and vegetables. We don't eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. We eat a lot of carbs. We eat a lot of bread. We eat a lot of pasta. Mm. And
because it's fast, cheap, and easy.
Yeah. Mm. You know, a lot of the young professionals that are my age, some of my friends will work until 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, depending on what they're doing. I've got one friend who's on call basically 24 hours a day. He works for a big IT company.
I thought you were going to say he's married.
Not yet. He might be soon. I mean, I'm also on call 24 hours a day being married. But
exactly.
Yeah, you know, when you get home after a 10-hour day, when you get home at 10 o'clock, if you've had a 12, 11-hour day, It becomes a situation where you want to just quickly put food in your body and you're not really concerned about where it comes from.
Yeah. So let's get on to that straight off to this read. And I wanted to touch on the point of you preparing your own food, because it's invaluable. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. I'm Nicholas Single, and I'm joined in studio by our fantastic producer, Daniel, and we're chatting health in the Frum community, health challenges in the young community, what they're facing. And what we also want to cover today for you is, what would you like to hear us cover on this show in the future? So let us know on WhatsApp, 061-895-1019. So Daniel, we were chatting about you coming home you're preparing your own food, you're doing your own grocery shopping, and all of these things in terms of taking responsibility for what you're putting into your body. And you mentioned you have a friend who comes home super late, and is it, you know, is there an opportunity for him to prepare food, or is he buying takeaways? And there's two things I wanted to touch on with this. One, there was a fantastic book written by Dan John, who is a world-renowned strength and conditioning coach, and it's called Fat Loss Happens on a Monday. And what he basically talks about with that is exactly as you said, the fridge is bare, and he goes, prepares his list of meals for the week on the Saturday or the Saturday evening, and then he breaks those meals down into ingredients, and he goes to do the shopping on the Sunday morning or the Sunday afternoon, so everything's ready, and all of that food prep gets done on the Monday night. So that's the full prep. So it's the roasting of the chickens and everything, and then that gets put into the freezer, into the fridge. So the veg gets prepped. So the only thing really is just reheating or a quick preparation. It's such a simple concept. But you talk about taking responsibility for what you eat. And I think the challenge is it's a bit of a longer payoff than the takeaways or the instant food, because we don't have the energy, because we're fatigued, we're stressed, we're under-rested, we're potentially malnourished, and we're not then giving ourselves the opportunity. So if we got to take those 5, 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, 3 months to start to build up that energy from the sacrifice of I'm prepping my food and eating real food when I get home. How have you found that the meal prep and the shopping has changed sort of your energy levels or your vitality? Has it yet? Or?
No, completely. My wife is a massive proponent of food prep and meal planning and all of those things. She will often be the one to say to me, all right, come, we need to do a meal plan now because otherwise we're not doing any shopping. She hates going shopping without the meal plan. And I'm kind of the opposite in that because being a chef in my previous life, I enjoy just sort of just buying ingredients and just seeing where the wind takes you. But from, you know, a professional working point of view, you know, you're at work the whole day. You don't have time to experiment and play around all the time. And when we do meal plans, my wife and I, it completely changes the game. And I can highly recommend it to anyone listening. You have to do it because it completely warps the way you shop. You get into the shop, you know exactly, all right, Monday night, we're going to be having fish with green beans and, I don't know, whatever. You know exactly what you need to buy. You know how much you need to buy, so that reduces your wastage, which is also a massive factor. And by planning your meals, you're also able to then say, you can look at your week from a bird's eye view, and you can say, or even your month if you're doing a month-long plan, and you can say, okay, hang on, maybe we're eating a little bit too much red meat. Maybe we're not eating enough vegetables. Oh, there's actually quite a lot of carbs going on here. Why are we having potatoes on Tuesday night and Wednesday night, you know?
Because they're potatoes.
Okay, I mean, I love potatoes.
And it's winter. Yeah.
You can't deny that potato is the best vegetable ever.
Yeah, that's it.
But you can really take a step back and you can say, oh, okay, why are we having rice so often? Maybe we should swap the white rice for brown rice, or maybe we should try out a different grain. Maybe we should have some couscous as an alternative.
Right. And that overview, I mean, it's such a brilliant concept that you can see, okay, how are we balancing things? Perhaps something to add to that is keeping a food diary where how you're feeling based on what you're eating. So for myself, I know that I'm great on meat and fruit. Leafy greens, as much as I love them, and broccoli and even Brussels sprouts, not so great for me. Not getting that energy that I need. So tracking what we eat is a huge help. What got you to shift to start the meal prep? What was the tipping point?
I got married.
Okay, cool. 100%. So this was something from your spouse?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't recommend marriage for everyone. I don't think it's an everyone thing.
But meal prep is for everyone.
Meal prep's definitely for everyone. But it's not something that we did in my household growing up, so it was a bit of a foreign concept to me. My mom would often have conversations with us in the morning while we were sitting having breakfast. What do you want to have for, what do you want to take to school with you? Sometimes it would be, okay, here's a sandwich. Sometimes it would be, okay, here's some leftovers from the night before. But we never had a clear picture of what the next day's meals would be. And even on the weekend, you know, what are we going to be having for Saturday lunch or Saturday night dinner? We never had that clear picture. And when my wife and I started going out initially, she was actually quite shocked at what my family was eating, because we ate in my house back then a lot of red meat, a lot of chicken, not much vegetables, and a lot of carbs. My mom, she still does it today, and bless her, I love you, Mom, if you're listening. But my mom will often make, say, potatoes and rice on the same plate, or potatoes, rice, sweet corn, butternut, like, you know, it's all just starch on top of starch. And my wife was very shocked at that, because it's something that she didn't grow up doing. Mm. So, yeah, she was really the tipping point for me, and it's definitely changed the way we eat. It's changed the way we shop. And as you say, it does, it completely changes your energy levels. It makes you so much more active when you know that you're having a good meal, when you're putting good food into your body.
So it's such an important thing, that relationship with food and what we learn from our families. And sometimes we have to change that, because the older generations, especially coming out of Europe, and where there were, you know, meat was a luxury. So when you could afford it, you got as much of it as you could. And the potatoes, you know, that's the standard farmer meat and potatoes thing, where we need to start to shift our mindset to eating healthier. How do you think, or do you think you would have changed that if you hadn't been married? Or would you have stuck to the family way of eating?
I think I would have in part. I think I still would have eaten a lot of the same proteins in the same quantities. But even when I was a child, I was never a fan of the way my mom prepared vegetables. In fact, any of my family members, whenever we went out for dinner to any of them, because as you say, I think it's a relic from the past, from Eastern Europe, that all vegetables need to be boiled.
Yep.
Until they're gray. Salt is not... it's more of a suggestion.
Yes. And then the different kinds of kosher salad dressing and sauces that are poured on them, or mayonnaises and these kind of things to mask the fact that they've been boiled to death.
I said to someone the other day, you're having salad with your salad dressing, or salad dressing with your salad? Yep. Which way is this going? But I believe it's definitely a relic from that era. That all of the fruits and vegetables, fruit, but no, all
fruit
of
fruit was a luxury. I mean, yeah. in sort of Eastern Europe, it was not. And your vegetables were your turnips or your cabbages, and yeah.
And having gone through professional culinary training in my life, I discovered that a much tastier way to enjoy vegetables is not when they're boiled until they are mush and baby food. And that's something I started slowly doing for my family when I was still living at home. And like, my father just took to it straight away. He loved it, the way I would cook, say, green beans, for example. Just a light saute, a little bit of salt, a little bit of lemon juice. And it's so fresh, and it's so delicious.
And crunchy.
Crunchy, yeah, the texture. And I think at the same time, and you'll agree with me, I'm sure, when you boil vegetables, it actually destroys a lot of the vitamins that are present and minerals that's present in those vegetables.
So usually over 45 degrees, you start to break down the enzymes, and then you start to lose the actual nutritional value of it, absolutely.
So after you've taken a bunch of vegetables and boiled them for...
You left with the starch.
3 hours or whatever.
Way, yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely a much healthier way of eating, just to... to treat those vegetables with care and with respect.
Right. So you're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Disco Medical Monday. I'm Nicholas Single, and chatting to my producer, Daniel, about the challenges in the young Frum community and within the Frum community with regards to health and nutrition. We've been chatting about dieting and family prep. Let us know on WhatsApp 061-895-1019. What is your family's cooking style like? Is it healthy? Is it starchy? Or is it still connected to our history in Eastern Europe, where we're coming out with very overcooked food? For the Sephardi community, you know, there's such flavor and spice, and it's fantastic. This wedding that I was at now was Sephardi, so there's never been so much food, but it was absolutely mind-blowing. And, you know, they go to town on the vegetables there, on the peppers, on the chatzilim, on all of these wonderful things. So what are your family cooking styles and history like? Let's talk about sleep. And by the way, also, I want to chat to you. I think we need a cooking health show episode in the future where we can chat about prep. How do we bulk prep in the shortest period of time for the week? Because I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make, I know I do it myself, never go shopping for food hungry, and never go out to a restaurant hungry. These are the things because, you know, we've run through our gym over the decades, we've run many health challenges for corporates. And one of the things is getting people to send photos of food. And what I get when people are trying to lose weight is, and what we touched on earlier with the different diets, no one's very few people are dieting for health. You know, health is a lifestyle. Dieting is to lose weight. And people have a tiny breakfast, a cup of yogurt and 3 grapes, and then lunch will be a salad with a chicken breast, but only at 2 p.m. And then at 7 p.m., 8 p.m., they're ravenous and starving, and it's a pizza or it's a burger, and like that completely throws everything out. So getting into that habit of healthy cooking is vital. How much work and time have you found it taking out of your and your wife's busy day to prepare the food?
It is quite a lot of time to do prep like that, especially depending on what meals you choose. And I think doing your meal planning allows you to then decide maybe not to make such complex meals.
Right.
Make meals that are not so many components. You know, there's nothing wrong with a nice grilled piece of chicken, some rice, green beans. I keep going back to green beans for some reason.
But yeah, fantastic.
You know, there's nothing wrong with a simple meal. And that's something that I've really tried to incorporate in my cooking over the last 5 years, because I used to work in a lot of super fancy restaurants, you know, before I was religious. It's not fun having to prepare a meal that consists of 28 different components.
Right.
And at home, as a young professional who's working the whole day, you know, you don't have a lot of time in the afternoon or in the evening during the week. You want to go to sleep. I mean, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be here at the station. So I try to sleep a lot at night. So I don't have that time at night to do the food prep. So you need to just be cognizant of what meals you're choosing to make. And also what we try to do is have overlap in your meals. So not necessarily to eat the same thing every day, but say we're going to grill a whole chicken. What I'll do is I'll break down the chicken. We'll grill the chicken breasts. That can become a chicken salad on Monday. Then with the remainder of the chicken, that can be just grilled chicken for another weeknight meal. Then I'll take the chicken bones, and now in winter, great, we turn it into chicken soup. So that's now 3 meals all overlapped from that one chicken, which
right.
saves a fortune of time and effort.
Yeah, and money.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think just with that prep, just to touch on it very simply, how far in advance can you cook and prep food? And then, you know, is cooking the chicken the most time in the meal prep?
Yeah, generally cooking your proteins does take quite a while, especially chicken. Fish and meat, not so much. Fish especially short. I think the most time that I spend is vegetable prep, actually, to be honest.
Because you love it.
I do love
like
it.
Like, it's important to you to honor the vegetables, given what you've experienced.
No, I treat vegetables with the same respect that I do an A5 piece of Wagyu meat.
Sure,
you know?
Okay.
I think it's important. I think it's really important. And I think I've had a lot of vegetarian, so to speak, dishes that are just as good as a steak and potatoes when you take that care in preparing the vegetable, when you take that time to really showcase the flavor and the texture of that vegetable. But no, there's a lot of time taken up for vegetable prep, cutting onions, carrots, tomatoes.
How far in advance can you do that? Sort of, can you do that on a Monday for a Thursday?
It depends what you're making.
Mm. But you can build your meals around.
Yeah, exactly.
The longevity of what you're prepping.
Exactly, yeah. So if it is something that you could freeze, then that's great. If it's something that doesn't freeze so well, like, for example,
lettuce.
I was going to say bell peppers.
Peppers, right.
But yeah, both of those vegetables, they're not great to freeze. Please don't. Please.
Don't freeze them. Absolutely.
Not fun. Yeah. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And so that type of thing, I'll generally, for lettuce, for example, I'll cut it up and wash it, dry it off, make sure it's dry because the moisture is going to contribute to it becoming soggy and growing all sorts of nasty things. Mm. Prep that ahead of time, put that into a container, and then you can then use that later on during the week. And as I said, with the overlap, if you're going to have one or two salads during the week, prep a lot of lettuce, and then that becomes all of your salads then during the week.
Okay, fantastic. I want to touch on what it's like preparing the meals with your wife, with your spouse. Let's go to ad break.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and you are listening to 101.9 High FM. I'm chatting to my producer, Daniel, in studio, and we're taking advantage of his culinary background, his chef experience, and also being a young Froom guy with a young Froom family, the challenges that are faced by the community. We've spoken about meal prep and how important that is, how important sleep is, because sometimes you are working very long hours. I know that you're up at 4 in the morning, and that's really, you know, if you're not getting to bed on time, if you're getting too late into the day, you're really going to reduce the quality of your sleep. So I wanted to chat about family food prep. Do you guys prep your food together? Do you spend time together in the kitchen?
We try to.
Right.
Our kitchen is quite small, so it does tend to become a bit of a...
You're a young Froom family. Of course your kitchen's small.
Well, it's only my wife and I at the moment.
Yep.
And we have two parrots. No human children just yet. But yeah, the kitchen's quite tight. Mm. But we do. We also like to bounce ideas off of each other. And we both have our different styles of cooking. So our styles aren't like massively different, but we put out different flares on things. So we'll often share the load in the kitchen. We'll try to come up with different ideas. When we are doing meal planning, you know, I'll throw in a recipe idea, she'll throw in a recipe idea, and we'll just try to make this beautiful coherent picture for the week and for the month.
You know, there's a ton of Jewish mother-in-laws out there now taking notes and phoning their son-in-laws going, did you hear Daniel on the radio? What he does, they go shopping together, they prepare their food together. You're putting a lot of the guys under pressure. Daniel's having a good chuckle here, so I'll give him a moment to recover. And then what I wanted to ask, how have you found that contributes to your relationship? The two of you guys prepping the meal, spending time together. Because it's such an important thing. You're saying, I value you enough to look after your health, and I value you enough to look after my health.
So let me counterpoint that actually by saying, when we don't do meal planning, and when we don't do our prep and things like that, which happens occasionally. We get busy, things happen. Yesterday we had a very rough day. I won't get into the details, but couldn't do our shopping yesterday and things. When we don't do that, it puts a strain on the relationship, because we'll often both get home in the afternoon and then we'll look at each other and we'll go, are you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. Are you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. What should we make? I have no idea. What do you think? Mm. No, I have no idea. And it really does. It puts a lot of strain on the relationship, because you're both tired. You're both exhausted. You both, you know, you're out of ideas.
There's a finite, again, going back to this coach, Dan John, he spoke about a study that was done many years ago where they put a whole bunch of people into a room and then they gave them multiple decisions to make with different cookies to choose to eat while they were in the waiting room. So and then they had limited decision-making power after that, where those who weren't given the cookies, they had more decision-making power. We have a finite decision-making capacity in the day, and it runs out without any warning. So as you said so rightly, coming home and then being tired and not knowing, there's wonderful comfort in having the food prepped or knowing what you're going to make.
There is. And it also it feeds into that healthy eating idea, because when you are sitting there, you've got no idea what to make. My wife's got no idea what to make. We like out of ideas. We usually end up at one of two things, which I'm sure you know where I'm going.
Milk or meat.
Yeah, yeah. But also we either like, okay, should we just like quickly go buy a pizza or something?
Yeah, that's
or
it.
Should we just like chuck some pasta in a pot?
Yeah.
And, you know, throw some jarred tomato sauce over the top of that.
Yeah.
And neither of those meals are very nutritious.
Yeah.
Let's say that. I mean, I love pizza. I won't lie to you, Nick. Pizza is my favorite food in the world.
Mine too.
But you can't eat it every day.
Pizza and cheesecake. So where the station is a great location. It may not be so good for long term, but absolutely. How do you guys manage your sleep and your rest and your recovery? And within your social group, I mean, chatting to your friends, how challenging is that?
Sure, sleep is a very, very hard thing for us. And I've struggled with it for a long, long time. And I know a lot of my friends struggle with it. I think a lot of people in our community struggle with sleep. And having gone through a serious bout of depression and insomnia at the end of last year, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that if you don't get enough sleep and you don't get the right quality of sleep, which is, I think, even more important, you simply cannot function whatsoever. And I mean, I struggle, you know, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. If I've got a lot to do the previous evening, if we're trying to do meal prep, or, you know, if we're going out with friends or something, it's difficult to come home at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, and sure, then be awake 4 o'clock the next morning. Mm. So,
and particularly when you string a couple of those days or weeks or months together.
Yeah. Every once in a while is okay, but if you do that on a consistent basis, it hurts you significantly. And, I can't stress the importance of sleep enough, to be quite honest. My wife struggles with sleep quite a bit as well, and it's a hard thing to manage. I don't think we personally have it all figured out just yet. We do definitely struggle with it.
And I think there are a lot of obligations on that the community has to deal with as well, in terms of study, extra study, you know, going to synagogue. And so, if, you know, Saturday morning, sometimes you want to stay in bed and sleep the whole day. And, you know, we have to get up to do these things. You know, you don't want to be facing your rabbi in the week, in the shopping things, going, sheesh, you know, we couldn't make a minyan because you weren't there. And then, you know, it just carries on. And there's Saturday night WhatsApps. Rabbi Bacher, I'm talking to you. And so, you know, these are the challenges. And sleep is the most important thing that we can do, because it is going to affect our decision making. So sometimes we have to look at things potentially to give up in order to get our sleep. Maybe, you know, that is extramural activities, friends. But then how do you find that balance between a quality of life, socializing, being with your friends, or going to study or doing extra stuff when you are running on as little sleep as you are?
It's very difficult. And as I say, I don't think we have it figured out at my house. I think we've got a long way to come, and I think we can do a lot in terms of educating ourselves towards sleep. Maybe that's something we should do.
We'll definitely do
a show
on each of the points. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's again such an important point that it's not about perfection. And as you said, having to educate ourselves, it's taking responsibility and finding the best way to deal with it given the limited resources that we have. So, you know, we have 24 hours in a day. If we had more, we could sleep more. If we had more, we'd end up doing more. Let's go to an ad break.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. I'm Nicholas Engel. I'm joined in studio by Daniel, my producer, and we're chatting about sort of the health challenges faced by the Froom community, chatting to Dan about his group and social group, which is the younger community. We've spoken really about the challenges of sleep and nutrition and the importance of meal prep. I think the one thing that we can control to the greatest extent, because it takes the least amount of time, is our water intake. And water is so vital for everything, because it helps us get rid of toxins. It helps our brain stay at the right level that it needs to in terms of hydration and size, and, you know, regulates our different hormone levels and so on. The big thing for you, how have you found upping your water intake? How has that affected your energy levels?
Before I went to Israel at the end of last month, I really didn't drink that much water. I was trying to. I've been on a journey, and I've been trying to, but, you know, it wasn't working out the way it's planned. And when we got to Israel and we walked out of the doors of that airport, and the air hits you like a ton of bricks.
Ton of bricks.
Yeah, like a molten lava wave tsunami. I realized at that point we are going to have to drink a lot of water. And while we were there, I'm not sure of exact quantities, but we were drinking a lot.
Yeah.
We were going to the bathroom a lot as well. But I felt that my energy there actually was very, very high, and I felt very good. I felt overall just really positive about everything, and it definitely was attributed a lot to the water intake. And so since I've been back in South Africa now, I've really been making conscious effort to increase my water intake. And when I say that, I say water as in water, because before I would drink more coffee than I'm maybe I'm a bit ashamed to admit how much coffee. I used to drink. And as much as the coffee is water and it does contribute to your water intake, coffee also being a diuretic and having all other sorts of compounds in it is maybe not the best thing for you to drink in excess. So, yeah, today I've drunk two of these bottles of water. I don't know, I think it's about
a liter or 750.
Yeah, 750 to a liter. Yeah. And I'm just going to carry on upwards and onwards on that trajectory. I think I don't have to drink as much water now, being winter and being so, you know, we're not super active at the moment. But definitely as we get into summer, and I'm going to keep on that train.
So, you know, it's such the high felt is dry. We're up here, and David from Dis-Chem said such an important point. So, like, your nose should be always moist. your nose should not be dry. And if it's dry, it can be an indicator that you are a little bit dehydrated and need to up your water intake. When we have a moist nose, it's able to catch more germs and more pollutants and stuff and be far more effective. It needs that moisture. So if you're sitting with a dry nose, it's something to say, hey, I do need to up my water intake a bit. Wow. And always going to the bathroom, it should always be clear. Yeah. Not dark, you know, and that's the big thing. Water is the one thing that we can start with first for improving our quality of life and our energy levels and so on. Well, I just wanted to say a big thank you, and I had so much fun chatting to you and having you in studio, and it was awesome, and I'm looking forward to doing this again and chatting. We can do a sort of a healthy food prep show. We can do a show on sleep, on hydration, on stress management, which is such a big thing because we're stressed, we can't sleep. So I wanted to thank you for joining us today here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle. You've been listening to the Disco Medical Monday, joined in studio by my producer Daniel, chatting about the health challenges of the young Frum community that he's experiencing firsthand. Craig on control. Thank you for joining us.